Today on Real Radio.
When we ask the question, what is it to be a follower of Jesus? That, in fact, is the definition of the word Christian. A Christian defines Christianity in obedience to God. Think about that for a moment. Christianity is what a Christian lives out, that is the doctrine of Christ in his world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack brings us part of his year-end series of messages. Of course, last week we heard some terrific teaching on Christmas. This time is going to be a bit different. Maybe you've seen some of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics commentaries. If you haven't, check them out right there on our free smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Meanwhile, that's what we're going to bring to you today and tomorrow here on Real Radio. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the first in his series called Real Life Basics.
A lot of people are asking, what is Christianity and what does it mean to be a Christian? And I think that's a great question because in the age and time in which we live in, a lot of people say and do things in the name of Christianity, as has been throughout history, but it's anything but Christian. So when we ask the question, what is it to be a follower of Jesus? That, in fact, is the definition of the word Christian. A Christian defines Christianity in obedience to God. Think about that for a moment. Christianity is what a Christian lives out, that is the doctrine of Christ in his world. And so when we think about what Christianity is, it's probably best that we think about what Christianity is not. Christianity is not, as you've heard, one of the three great religions of the world. We often hear that. There's Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, as though they're somehow to be compared to one another. Christianity is completely different. And those other two religions, those are attempts to reach God. Those are a set of rules and regulations by which someone earns the approval of God. Listen, friend, Christianity is completely opposite. Christianity is God reaching down in his sovereign love for mankind. He reaches us. We don't reach him. He first touches us. He first puts the seeking within our own hearts. God does this. It's an amazing thing, and it's relational. Keep that in mind. Salvation is obviously the goal of mankind. Man will go about trying to seek his form or definition of salvation. Where does that come from? Internally, man knows that he's lost. Internally, because we have been created in the image of God, there's a sense of us groping, finding, searching for meaning. Salvation is a gift given by God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that salvation is a gift given to us by God. It cannot be earned. And so the good thing is, because it cannot be earned, once received, it cannot be lost. God secures that in our lives. God does a work in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sounds like horrible news, and it is. Don't get me wrong. But that is the first step in the greatest news of all. The gospel is the saving of us, mankind, who's lost. Then the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Think about that. Every time somebody dies, every time something dies in our environment, the Bible tells us that that is the dividends being paid by sin and disobedience. Death causes the end of life. God is the inventor of life, the creator of life, but it is the wages of sin that exterminates or puts out that life. God never intended that to be the case. But the Bible does tell us that God, in his great love, in Romans 5:8, demonstrated that love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think about that for a moment. Even in your sinfulness and mine, God loves us. He doesn't want us to stay in that condition, but he wants to rescue us out of it. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, that is to God, not to me, my friend, not to a priest, not to a pastor or a pope, but to Jesus. If we confess our sins, if we confess, listen, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, the Bible tells us that we will be saved. And that's an awesome thing. What does it do for us? Again, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is now no condemnation. That judgment, that has been upon our lives has been lifted because we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. There's no longer any condemnation to those who are trusting Christ. You see, prior to us trusting Christ, we're walking about with this great sentence of death upon our lives. Jesus said to one of the most righteous men in all of Israel, Nicodemus, he said, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. But what does it mean to be born again? The word born again means to be born from above, to be born of the Spirit. That is to have a spiritual birth. Jesus went on to say that we've been born into this world through our mothers, but to inherit the kingdom of heaven, we need to be born of the Spirit. Keep that in mind. And then listen, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. That is a bold statement. Jesus is saying he's the only one that can lead you into everlasting life. You see, that's why Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship, unlike any other religions of the world. And then this great statement by Jesus, and it really shares his heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open up, that is his heart, he will come in and sup. The word sup, we would use the word dine or dinner. In that Middle Eastern culture, it is the most intimate thing. To sit down with someone else and have a meal with them was the closest thing that you can do. It's a very romantic concept that if you pull bread or if you pull meat from a meal and you eat it with someone across the table from you, you're becoming one with them in that meal. And Jesus said, I want to sit down with you and I want to have a meal with you. I want to become one with you. That's why Christianity is different than all other religions of the world. Christianity is a relationship based upon the merits of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the grave, and he invites you to know him personally. So the question is, what are you going to do about this information? It can alter your life both for now and for eternity. That's why it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life.
You're listening to a special edition of Real Radio. We're presenting some of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics commentaries. Here's more.
Have you ever thought about what God will accept on that day of judgment into his kingdom? You know, the Bible says that God is holy. And I think all of us know that in our heads academically, but do we understand that he is so pure that he cannot receive evil? The Bible makes that clear. He says that his eyes are so pure that he cannot behold it even. You say, well, then how does he even look upon us? How does he even associate with us? And that's a great question. And that is actually a great dilemma because we are unholy. You know, look, I'm not trying to beat us all up, but the fact of the matter is, as Scripture says, as you and I can attest, none of us have ever lived life without telling a lie. We've exaggerated this or that. The fish was much smaller than we said it was, or we were going a lot slower than the speedometer said we were going. And so we are unrighteous. But God says we need to have his righteousness. And you know, you and I can flub this up so much. We can even convince ourselves that we're being sincere by saying, well, I'll accept Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins. And if I trust him, then God will accept me. Yes, that's true, if it's really true. I don't mean, is God's part true? I mean, is your part true? Do you really believe that God will impart to you his righteousness? I hope you do, because without that, there is no heaven. My point right now today is to stress into your heart and ears that no legalism is accepted in the eyes of God. You cannot be good enough to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you must be born again to have eternal life. Born all over again, start again. How many times in your life, if you've lived a few years at all, you've said things like, man, I wish I could start life over again, and or, man, if I could live my life over again, I would not make those same mistakes. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus Christ said you can be and you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, up until now, your flesh, that is your desires, have directed and commanded your life. To be a real, authentic Christian is to have God command your life. That's what it is to be liberated, to be set free as a believer. Today, give up. Today, surrender. Let Jesus be the Lord and Savior of your life. Why is that important? Well, for this one reason alone. Because he loves you. And so it's my hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life.
You're listening to a special edition of Real Radio. We're presenting some of Pastor Jack's real life basics commentaries. Here's more.
Once you become a Christian, what do you do after that? We see people, and thankfully so, we see people going forward at a crusade. We see people coming forward at church. We see people raise their hands. We hear of people in their hotel rooms making their commitment to Christ. But what do you do after that? Does God save you in the moment? And then what? You're put on the shelf until the day that you die or till the day the Lord comes back? What does it mean to be a Christian? I think more than ever, we need to understand that. To be a Christian today is, first of all, to make that decision for Christ. You say, what does that mean? Well, in that initial realization is, I can't save myself. The gospel is Jesus Christ saving me. And when I think about being saved, what is that all about? Being rescued from my sins and given a real life. And so what do you do after that? And this is, to me, the most exciting thing about being a Christian. Number one, God loves you and He wrote you a love letter. It's called the Bible. So you begin studying and reading the Bible, finding out what God has to say to you. The Bible says of itself that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable to instruct us in the ways of righteousness. That means God breathed out the Word of God for us. If God is God, and He is, and if He's able to save us, and He is, then He's able to produce and keep for us the Bible, and He has. Well, listen, that's important because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that His Word is a lamp and a light to our path and to our feet in this world. You and I need guidance. So once you become a Christian, you start walking after God. Can I put it this way? Getting saved is your first step. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven in that very instant, in that moment. But that step begins a brand new life of pursuit after God. The Scripture says also that the Word of God is powerful. So in studying the Bible, in reading the Bible, it winds up taking root in our hearts. We wind up having the Word of God take control of our lives. It's supernatural. Pick it up and read it and watch what happens. The Bible says, I've hidden your Word in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against you. And the second thing is that you start actually dialoguing with God in prayer. Just strike up a conversation with God. A lot of people today will have an advertisement or a challenge saying, join the conversation in this, and join the conversation in that. Well, listen, God wants you to join the conversation. He's been talking to you for years, and now that you know Him, it's time for you to nurture a communication with Him. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, that is coming before God. Make it natural. It's a supernatural thing, but make it a natural response of your life. The next thing is to find a Bible-teaching church. You say, well, how do I do that? Get your Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, contact us. We'll get you a Bible. But when you open up that Bible, what you want to do is when you go to a church, you judge that church based on the Bible. Don't go to a church because it's got a steeple out front or it's got a cross on the building or it's called a church. Go to the church because it's teaching the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the early believers in the first century continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in the teaching of the Word of God. You need to go to a Bible teaching church. Be careful about that now. They're kind of hard to find these days. So you look for a Bible teaching church. And then the next thing you want to do is dive into fellowshipping in that church. What does it mean by fellowship? Listen, you hang out, you spend time with, you get to know other Christians and people who love God. Can I say this? Find a group of people in your local church that frankly you are impressed by their Christianity. Don't tolerate stuff with them. No, what you want to do is find Christians who love God, that are crazy about doing the Word of God, that are radical for Jesus, and then be with them. And the next thing I want you to consider, which is so vitally important, it's kind of terrifying if you think about it, but boy, is it life-changing. What God is doing in your life, what you're learning, tell others. Share your faith. Tell others about what you know. Tell others about what God has done in your own life. The Bible tells us, how will those around us in our world ever know the gospel unless people are sent to them? Well, listen, that person is you. That person's me. God desires you and I to tell others about what he has done in our lives. And the scripture tells us very plainly, it's a supernatural thing, that by natural conversation, a supernatural thing happens. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Begin to talk Bible. You know, the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 that God listens to our conversations. And when we talk about Him, He listens in and then writes those conversations down in His book of remembrance. Isn't that cool? Just like you overhear a conversation of somebody and it strikes you or it makes an impression upon you, God is longing to see you and to hear you talk about Him among other people, and He delights in that and He listens in. What an exciting thing. I want to end with this. The more you determine to pursue God now that you're a Christian, the more God will reveal Himself to you. The Bible tells us that His eyes scan to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for someone whose hearts are complete toward Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. Don't you want that? I want that for you. God wants that for you. And if God wants that for you, I think it's something that you ought to enjoy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in some of his commentaries called Real Life Basics. Here's more.
As Christians, what determines our success in our faith and success in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus is none other than the person of the Holy Spirit. We would know Him in our study as the third person of the Trinity. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is in fact God. For example, the book of Ezekiel says that you can anger the Holy Spirit. He can be made angry. In the book of Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us that you can lie against God the Holy Spirit. Of course, Ananias and Sapphira did that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You can make Him upset. He seems to be the one who, after Jesus was resurrected and ascended back into heaven, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and has been indwelling every believer ever since. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, God. As Christians, we do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three personalities make up the God of the Bible. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, He is someone who, according to the scripture, Jesus promised us in John 14, 26, that after Jesus would leave us and ascend back into heaven, that He would send the Holy Spirit as the Parakletos, the helper. Parakletos, para, alongside, kletos, to help. The Holy Spirit would be our helper. And in fact, the Holy Spirit has been doing just that for the last 2,000 years in the life of every believer. So the Holy Spirit is the one, Jesus also said, who would give us the understanding of the Word of God. When we read the Bible, have you ever noticed this? I remember being a non-Christian, picking up the Bible, thinking that it was nuts. Pick up the Bible and you go, what is this? Makes no sense to me. Who understands this stuff? But then I remember coming to know Jesus and then picking up the Bible the very next moment of having prayed to accept Christ, and I understood the Bible. Not only did I understand it, those areas where I didn't know or I couldn't understand it, I would pray, and what would happen? God would give you the understanding. Wow, your eyes are open. How did that happen? By the Holy Spirit. Jesus said also the Holy Spirit would come and convict us of sin. Whenever we do things wrong, either before we're Christians or after we're a Christian, that conviction is proof positive of the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And then Jesus tells us as Christians that after He would go away and He would send the Holy Spirit, that He would come and indwell every believer, not only indwell them, fill them, we use the term being filled with the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit would come upon us as witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, the Spirit of God would come upon you and you will be witnesses of mine to the ends of the earth. God takes us as Christians and then propels us to the world that's before us. And what comes out of us is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we share our faith with others, when we talk to people about God, that's the Holy Spirit at work in us. The Bible tells us that when Peter, for example, and the disciples prayed to receive the coming upon of the Holy Spirit, that they received power, and they preached the Word of God with boldness. The Bible also tells us, for example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that once we come to Christ and accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and indwells us, and we become followers of Christ. Listen, you should never follow Jesus in your own power. That actually is impossible. But to follow Jesus Christ, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, which makes it all possible. And then finally, as Christians, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians 5, verse 16, that we should walk in the Spirit, and if we do that, we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. You see, that's the difference regarding having a great, exciting, and victorious Christian life. That if you walk in the Spirit's power, you will be able to subdue the temptations that come against you and I in life. So listen, very quickly, there's three basic functions of the Holy Spirit. Number one, before we're Christians, He is convicting us of our sins and bearing witness of the righteousness of Jesus. Number two, when we acknowledge Christ, Jesus said, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. That is known as being sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is, we now belong to God. But the third thing is, after you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's power upon us, that we might walk a walk worthy of Christ and in the power of the Spirit of God. I got to tell you, if Christianity is boring, then my friend, you're doing it wrong. Follow Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I tell you what, man, your life as a Christian will be anything but common or boring. God bless you, and listen, it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. God bless you. When we don't confess our sins, the Bible tells us that it weighs on us to such a point that our bones begin to wax heavy, or we begin to groan under the emotional tyranny that unconfessed sin generates. But listen to this. It does say in Psalm 32, if we confess our sins, then God forgives us and our iniquity is lifted and that joy comes flooding into our hearts. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 28, the scripture says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. So believer, what you want to do is get alone real quick and find out, Lord, is there something in my life that is keeping your communication from me? I want to know. Speak to me. Let me tell you, friend, cheer up. God will speak to you. You might say, well, Pastor, I haven't heard God speak to me in so long. Hey, listen, it's because maybe there's a rift between you and God. You're still His kid, but He's waiting for you to say to Him, search my heart, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way within me, and He will tell you. He'll tell you quick. Just listen to Him. Listen, it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life.
We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in some of his commentaries called Real Life Basics. Real Life Basics is one of the many features that you can easily access through our free smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We'll hear more of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs broadcast every Monday. Pastor Jack interviews some great speakers, guests and authors and debaters and so forth, to discuss the hard-hitting issues and current events that we must face head-on both collectively as a church and as individual believers. So if you find yourself needing to address issues like same-sex marriage, abortion, defending the faith, one-on-one evangelism, etc., Real Life with Jack Hibbs, well, I got to tell you, it's a great resource. So join us tonight, would you? And every Monday night, for that matter, for another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. You can get all the details by visiting reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.